The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is for you. This is for you and me and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to
open. Oh yeah, here it is. I can hear it opening. You're listening to Waking Up in America, presented by Mary Louise Zeller, 20 times gold medal taekwondo champion in forms, an international Kayani distribution agent. I think she's the number one agent in the world now. I got to check that out, but I heard that via the grapevine. We do dynamic radio dialogues on Life Today in America, and I'm here today with Randy Shannon, and who's got peacocks on her roof. We'll have to ask her more about that later. What an interesting friend I have here. And Louis Constantine, who is
I'm here.
Our guardian angel, and there's the chuckle. We could call him Chuckles. I'll give you the Chuckle Award, Louis. And here we are again. It's a Saturday morning, and if you hear this any other day of the week, know that you could actually come over to KTBL in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and listen to us live, and then we replay in different places. So Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that's changing the world. And Bob, thank you for that comment. What I want to say about that is when people have information, the world can change. Not always that it will, because information doesn't always get used, or there are the powers that be. You know, those big powers that be, I've always kind of wondered what they look like. But the powers that be, sometimes they just do nothing, okay? And they do nothing because it actually benefits them to do nothing, because they're making so much money off of what they're doing and they don't want to give it up. Just like the oil companies don't want to give up fracking, even though it destroys the environment, kills the fish, and causes, you know, potential acceleration of earthquakes in places like California and different places. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the pictures that came out of the Gulf after the big oil spill. I mean, I didn't realize that shrimp had three heads to them, things of that nature. So, yeah, they did. They paid some fines, but they made I look at every piece of fish in the market now, and I go, oh, goodness gracious, do I really want to touch that? And then I check it to see if I can see any cancer sores on it or anything of that nature, because I got sent out an email to Randy and Lewis this week that had a picture of tuna, I think it was. Was it tuna, Lewis, that had all those little nice little cancer cells in it?
It was a variety of fish, actually.
It was what?
A variety of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, quite a few different species of fish.
Right, and it took from
types of fish.
Yeah, it took from 2011 to now for that to start to show up. And, you know, there's just, we were talking about if we want clean fish before the show, that perhaps we'll actually have to put together a really good fish farm, because that would be certainly a way of handling it, and not just do it for the money, but actually do it for the quality of the fish that we produce. And they're actually considering doing, I think they're actually doing it, Louis, GMO fish. Have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly have.
Yeah, they're messing around now that they've managed to make many of our vegetables and such incompatible with our bodies, corn being the most, people don't recognize that corn is GMO. The birds do, but humans don't. All the fat stomachs you're seeing, a lot of that has to do with people trying to digest undigestible GMO fruits and vegetables. So, you know, it's an interesting conversation. I always like to go through the paper before I get on the air. And one of the things that showed up in the LA Times a week or so ago was microbeads. So here in Los Angeles, our sanitation department doesn't have screens that are fine enough to sift out the microbeads that they're discovering in the Los Angeles River. And there's a nice little picture of them in the Times. What can I say? Guess what a microbead does, Randy?
Wow, that's not good.
It's a little teeny thing that's about the size of a grain of sand. They're transporters of toxins. So every day, you were talking last week about New York and
mm-hmm.
about how they had put their poopies into the ocean.
Yeah,
and then they were floating
back.
Well, we're not doing that in L.A. We're sending out microbeads, and our little microbeads are coming from the Los Angeles River, and our Department of Sanitation wasn't onto it yet. I mean, I'm not blaming them for anything at this point. I'll blame them for something if they don't get it handled. But at this point, it's a new discovery that the microbeads, these little grains of sand, are actually picking up the toxins that are going through the sewage treatment plant, and they're taking them out into the ocean. They're absorbent, okay? So it's like, oh, good. Something else is warming up the ocean. So, just so that I'm not a total downer this morning, what's the date on this? I was looking. Oh, January 30th. I don't know if you know about this, Lewis, but I got really excited. New stem cells made easy. I can imagine our dear past president who woke up in the night crying because the same guy that made Guantanamo, by the way, woke up crying in the night because he could hear stem cells crying, okay? Well,
interesting.
You know that, right, Lewis? I hear you laughing, but did you know that was part of his story? The guy that created waterboarding as a new Olympic sport for U.S. and things of that nature cried his little eyes out because he could hear the stem cells crying that were taken from the umbilical cords. So it turns out that
that's not necessary.
Well, it's better than that. No, I'm just going to say, George, you can rest your heart now because we found a way to get stem cells that don't involve human embryos or tinkering with DNA. And what they're doing, I don't know if you've heard about this yet, Lewis, but they're actually taking and they're putting the blood cells of newborn mice soaked into a mildly acidic solution for 30 minutes causes the cells to become pluripotent or capable of growing into any type of cell, and they've had a lot of success with that, and they believe that it'll work with humans too. So I'm really excited about that because I can see a lot of things, diseases disappearing. Any comments on that?
That was just published in Nature, which is one of the foremost science magazines. Always everything on the cutting edge finds its way into either science or nature. And, the fellow who did that work, it's rather novel, and it really was astounding, not just to you and I, but to stem cell researchers around the globe. This is,
blew my mind.
It blew their minds, too. It's going to completely change the face of stem cell research. And he's already beginning to do work on human cells, and has said that the initial findings are encouraging. So we'll look forward to seeing those, absolutely.
Well, while you're on the subject, why don't you give our listeners a little hint about some of the things that stem cells actually would do for people? I was thinking of Christopher Reeve. I was wondering, the guy that was Superman?
Yeah.
Had that bad
injury. Kind of like the only thing that someone like me remembers or thinks about is the spine.
Well, I mean, you have to think of, I think the, really, the potential use is, it's endless. A lot of work is being done using stem cells to, trying to look at regeneration of heart muscle after a heart attack. For example, injecting stem cells into scarred areas, trying to replace the scar. Now, the work in the heart hasn't been terribly encouraging, but I think, it's just a matter of time.
Has it been a little encouraging?
Yeah, a little encouraging, but you can, under the right circumstances, get new cardiac muscle cells But replacing a whole scarred segment and really restoring a heart to its previous pre-heart attack state, that's a distance we haven't come close to that. But the reality is that there's no reason why, theoretically anyway, a stem cell couldn't be used to repair any damaged organ or tissue. It's just a matter of time and finding the right way to insinuate these in cells and activate them and make them turn into whatever tissue you're trying to repair.
Very, 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 very interesting. Recently, I've been getting some dental work done. I lost a bunch of caps last year. So I've been getting some dental work done, and I was having a conversation with a dentist, and I said, why is it so important to get dental work done? And he said, well, one of the things that can actually happen is that the bacteria in the mouth, if your mouth is not in good condition, can actually get into the bloodstream and then go and weaken the heart muscles. Had you heard that?
There is a long-standing controversy about whether or not oral microbes play a role in the genesis of coronary artery disease. And that's there's an association between that is oral infections in particular, elevated levels of CRP, that's the marker of inflammation. So do oral infections, low-grade chronic infections, cause body-wide inflammation that may then find its way as a trigger to coronary heart disease that can cause heart damage? But that's really, it's hard to actually demonstrate that there's more than there's actually a causal relationship that one causes the other. Bacteria can get into your bloodstream, and they can find their way to heart valves that are a little bit dysfunctional. And certainly if you have an artificial heart valve, that's one of the major concerns. Oral bacteria do cause heart valve infections, and that's why people with artificial heart valves receive antibiotics before dental work.
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember the man's name, Dr. Downing or Dowling. Maybe you know Randy. He was on Waking Up in America a couple of years ago, and he's like been working out of the country, and people go to someplace in South America. It's been so long to work with him on a variety of health issues because his practices are not here in the United States, and I personally know some people that have gone down there. One of them did not survive. He was very far along in cancer. A number of others did. That's part of what they were doing. So I'm not offering him up as a cure, but one of the things that he said was on the air was that when they looked at cancer, for instance, he felt that it was always traceable. It was always visible through the mouth, the condition of the mouth. So I don't know, you know, whether he's the final authority on this or anything of that nature, but it's certainly something to consider. So one of the things that I'm telling listeners, please, any way you look at it, whether it's going to destroy your heart valves or not, get your teeth taken care of and your gums taken care of, because there's a lot of stuff that happens there, and I right now have been going through some bone loss, and I'm having to get caps and all kinds of things. And I know that I just feel better knowing that I'm taking care of this, and I don't know if you know anything of, other than what we've already said, Lewis, but I'd like to support our listeners in getting your mouth cleaned up.
I did actually speak to that doctor direct.
Pardon?
And I did speak to that doctor directly, and I know of the patient that you're speaking of, I believe we're talking about the same one who did pass away. But the doctor basically, I mean, you're hitting it on. He did say, you know, that just about every cancer is completely curable, and he was curing people within 3 weeks of some pretty serious stuff. That I told him a story about a friend of mine who had tongue cancer. It was my friend's daughter, and she ended up passing away this year, actually.
Huh.
And I attended her funeral, and it was a very sad thing. She was 27 years old, and he said she did not have to suffer the way she suffered. And I mean, she was disfigured by doctors here in this country. They cut most of her tongue out, and then the accidental things that can happen clipped her vocal cords. And she went a healthy route, but she wasn't willing to leave the country to go get some of the alternative routes. And, you know, sometimes you got to do that. I'd be willing. I'd be on the fast plane out, I can assure you. Because
yeah, so
anywhere
it's something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, if you're kept from the cure, why would you stay? Get up and get on a plane and go. Your life is too valuable.
And before you have to get on a plane and go, go to the doctor, the dentist, and get your teeth taken care of. What did you want to say, Louis?
No, I just wanted to say that I think that if you're facing a life-threatening condition, I think it's very, very important to take a broad look at what might be available and, you know, to use your intuitive senses as well.
Yeah.
I know that's not very scientific, and I know it's not consistent with the paradigms that we follow here in conventional medicine, but we're very focused and very stuck in a particular paradigm that doesn't allow physicians as a whole to look outside the very, very limited silo that we work in. So some of these folks out there are probably do harm, and then there are folks out there who just absolutely probably have something to offer, and unfortunately sometimes they take their information with them when they pass on.
You
just need to be more open about what's out there.
One more thing that this doctor did say to me is that most of them do start from something that they had in their mouth, whether it was root canal. He said most of it is root canal, with filling things.
Well, they leave in a little of the bone, Randy. That's why he said it started from there.
Yeah.
So when you get a root canal, get x-rays to make sure all the bone's gone.
You know, what I would say about cancer is simply this, is that, and this applies to coronary heart disease as well, which I know something about. I don't know a lot about cancer.
Yes, you do, don't you?
But the bottom line is this, is that our system is so focused on disease care. And really, so much of cancer, as is true of heart disease, is completely preventable. And a lot of it has to do with exposure to environmental pollutants. Even more has to do with dietary factors. You know, 30 to 35% of cancers are really thought to ultimately have as their primary basis, you know, just basically a bad diet. And what is a bad diet? Well, a bad diet may be what we consume in America, for example. And it's a diet of inclusion of certain things, but it's also a diet of exclusion of certain very important things, which is why we know that eating a certain amount of fruit and vegetable material is a good preventative strategy. We're just focused on doing these interventions, and it's certainly, there's a huge industry, medical industry, kind of like the military-industrial complex. Well, there is a medical, pharmaceutical, complex, and hospital complex that basically funds a lot of, folks, and people have stock in these corporations and so on and so forth. So it's a challenge because that's really ultimately what we're facing when it comes to health, and the barrier to health is what earns the medical complex, the medical industrial complex, its money. It keeps it alive. So disease keeps it alive.
Yeah, it keeps it alive, and I was just trying to remember the figures on death by hospital. It's pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is pretty hospital. I don't think we really, death by hospital, people die in the hospital, it's a very, very difficult and challenging thing to sort out, but do bad things sometimes happen in hospitals? Yes. Do good things happen in hospitals? Absolutely.
Yes.
And in fact, far more good things, I think. You know, people. The problem is that we see people who, and hospitalization, by the way, now, we're much more careful about people coming into the hospital. Far more things are managed in an outpatient environment than when I trained. When I trained, virtually anything could get you in the hospital. Hey, it's easier to do it there. Let's have you admit it because, we can get these tests done in 3 days as opposed to in five. That wasn't a great idea because, then you are subject to potential things like infections from an IV catheter, And I think so people take much more seriously the reality that virtually everything we offer you in medicine has a downside or an upside. There isn't anything I can offer someone, whether it's advice, a pharmaceutical, a procedure, a surgery, that doesn't carry with it some risk. So it really behooves us to be very careful about what it is that we're offering folks.
Well, I actually want to thank hospitals and doctors, in particular surgeons. You don't really know this, but I'm a bionic woman. Okay, and I got a radiokeratotomy back in the 80s when it was first happening from Russia with the little knives, and they use these little bitty knives to cut your lens. And I went from 20/200 to 20/20 vision with that one. Then I needed I was doing the tango, and I lost the ligament, snapped the ligament in my right knee. And so
I'm just picturing it.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
I got a ligament replacement, okay, in my right knee. And then I got a new hip when my hip went out. And I've had, I forget what the name of the surgery, meniscus surgery on both knees from sports injuries. And here I am, you know, and I can play racquetball, and I can dance, and I can do all kinds of things. So I really want to say, even though we're talking about things that don't work, there's a lot of stuff that does work, and I just want to say thank you, God, and thank you to the surgeons who helped me with all of that, because I could be, like, old and crippled and walking around with a walker. Instead, I'm not. I'm having a very different life, and it's at the grace of the good doctors. So I just wanted to make a point about that.
Yeah, breaking a hip is, I understand, pretty serious.
It's nasty.
A lot of people don't recover from that.
Well, I didn't break it. What actually happened, Randy, is I got a bone spur, and the bone spur ground out my hip, and so it had to be replaced. And I can go horseback riding and do all kinds of things now.
Fun.
So when we were getting ready for the show, there seemed to be like peacocks on your roof or something. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, I was sitting here, and it just, I got to tell you something I didn't mention off air, but I could hear all this noise up on my roof, and I looked out the window, and there's 5-6 peacocks outside my window. I'm on the second level, and the roof is like a whole nother level up. And they're just out there walking around, or one's chasing another. And that reminds me, I think I must be coming up or just past it, my one-year anniversary, because I was on air with you last year when it was mating season. And we were hearing all kinds of crazy honks outside my house.
Yeah, you got to remember. Oh,
yeah,
my God, happy anniversary.
That's right. It's happening again. They're going crazy all over the roofs and the yard, and I heard a couple honks this morning, so it's only going to get worse in the coming weeks. I just want to warn you.
Oh, because they're mating?
Yeah, we're coming into the mating season.
Oh, that's too funny.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say I'm so grateful to be on the show. I was reading the story this morning about NBC and MSNBC and how they've sunk to the bottom of public trust, and it's shows like this and the alternative news and media outlets and talk shows that are rising to the top of everything, because everybody's just going away. I put a post on my Facebook page, and it just said, if you watch the Grammys, please befriend me, please. And I had all kinds of friends make the funniest comments. You know, not all the people are bad, believe me, I don't think it, but I just don't, you know, the whole satanic rituals that they put on the TV for the whole world to see. I'm just not into it. And I like my friends to just kind of be awake and aware of that. But I just want to thank you, because I love being on the show. I hope I never get kicked to the curb.
That's too cute. Well, that's a perfect entrance, you know. You realize that. I was actually trying to find what the symbolism was behind a peacock, and everything I clicked on kept putting me into a different... What does the peacock represent? The peacock represents glory, immortality, royalty, and also, you're going to love this one, Ms. Shannon, incorruptibility.
Ooh.
It is a symbol of integrity and beauty that can be achieved when we try to do better.
I love it.
And she's got 6 of them on her roof. I've been trying to talk her into running for office in Florida, because Marianne Williamson is really hot here in California. And what she was saying was that if we put 20 representatives into Congress, into the House of Representatives, that because the Democrats and the Republicans, who wants to be either one at this point, being independent is the thing, that we could actually then make the House go the way we want, and the people could actually be representatives. So I think the peacocks are showing up to give you a message that once you get everything at home taken care of, how about getting involved? I don't know how many congressmen and women can come from Florida, but hey, I think the U.S. is probably more, what's the right word for it? The California in particular, I think we've got like 20 or 30 districts. So we could actually be sending that all the people that are needed to Congress right now to turn things around, because it's going to take that. Of course, I've understood that the president, we've got the Super Bowl Sunday coming up this week, which of course is one of the most exciting things for me that you could ever imagine. I won't be watching it. I don't know.
I'm
I might
you.
For a commercial. I hear the commercials are good.
But you know what? You can avoid them by just going to YouTube and looking up Super Bowl 2014 commercials and avoid the whole game.
It's really kind of hard watching men go and shake their brains around inside of their cranium, and all the stuff that's been happening to football players is a little bit frightening there.
Yeah. Joe Namath right now he's dealing with brain issues. In fact, he said the body isn't designed to play football. So.
No, I don't think it is either. So anyway, I know that America is really concerned about this. I was listening to KFI yesterday, and truthfully, I think KFI has some of the most moronic radio that I have ever listened to. All they could talk about was, you know, fining kids for not being saying the right thing, and what to make for Super Bowl Sunday. And I thought, you got all this airtime, folks. Can't you do anything better with it than that? Actually, it seemed that they couldn't. But we've got something special for you guys right now, and that's the sponsors that actually back up Waking Up in America. Oh, my God. Every one of these has... Did you get any apple cider vinegar yet? Because I got mine.
No.
Dang. I'll call again.
Okay.
Okay, so Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar, we do love that stuff, and I just got my case like yesterday or the day before.
She must not understand that I'm her greatest fan.
You know what? I'm going to make that very clear, okay? I'm going to make that very clear. I actually think the breakdown keeps happening in the warehouse, but anyway, neither here nor there. There will be apple cider vinegar for all. We love that stuff, okay? It's in all different kinds of flavors. If you needed that, I didn't, because even just their honey one is great, but they've got Concord grape and all kinds of stuff like that. So I love these drinks. You can actually use one bottle for two doses, and people that drink apple cider vinegar on a daily basis have much stronger health scores than other people. There's something about it that works. It may even be part of the, you know, apple a day thing. Lewis can comment on that later. We also want to invite you to have Jason Winter Tea. It's really cool here, and cold actually is the better word in California right now. And the Sir Jason Winter Peach Tea is one of my favorites, and I love it because it does build a healthy immune system. Protandim is a blood purifier. It's just all kinds of stuff. I use these things regularly, and I attribute that to part of my zippiness. I'll be 74 this year, and I'm having a good time. If you go over to our website at wakingupinamerica.com, you'll actually see all of this on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see our presenting sponsor, Kayani. You'll see the free Kayani webinar. You'll see Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar. You'll see directed breath, which you should really try out my half-hour free demonstration of this, because what I do is actually, it's almost like popping emotional issues rather than chugging through them. Then we have the science of age reversal. And then the telomeres. And we have also an echo going on. Do you have that echo too?
Somebody has
their
phone on, turn it off.
Hello?
Hello.
There we go. Thank you so much. I go back
to the phone here.
The science of age reversal, telomeres. Click on that. it's fascinating stuff, what's available. I think it's every bit as intriguing as stem cells, as you re-lengthen that little cap on the end of your DNA, and that has something to do with aging. And I can, for the first time, see how I could live to be 200 by doing the things that I do. Imagine Clean Eustachian Tubes. That's next on the list, the Koning Company. And for those of you that are tormented by the effects of chemtrails, ear coning actually cleans the eustachian tubes, which is one of the ways that we get toxins out of the body, which through the eustachian tube. Also, check out the Shift Network. It's all about creating peace. We've got Marketing with Stars, and gosh bless them. Marketing with the Stars, 100,000 good emails. If you want to market something, Raw does it. He's got really fine human beings. Right under that, we have the ever-beautiful Randy Shannon, founder of 42action.org. We've got Aqua Chi, which is the foot bath that actually detoxifies your body and energizes your cells. Click on these things. They're all linked up. You'll love them. Planetary Activation Organization. Hey, that's the Galactic Federation, and I am on their monthly calls, and I'm appreciative of it, because when I get despondent about the fact that at the current rate that we're going through, we've only got like 35 years left before the gas is released from under the ice caps, when I listen to the Planetary Activation Organization calls, I'm reassured, because we have friends galactically that are taking care of us and keeping an eye on things. And one of the things we heard on one of the calls was that's the reason we didn't have World War III, because the Galactic Federation intervened. And I like to believe that. I do. It gives me some hope. And what I see is this planet has been around for so many years. And with 35 left to go for life on this planet, max, I like to know that there are other possibilities, such as Agartha. And all of that conversation, you click on that planetary activation link, and you can hook up with this and get emails. It's very, very interesting stuff. Also, if you go to elpinto.com and check out the salsa, he's actually got a link on there where for $15 now you can buy 50% off on your meal at whatever it is over at El Pinto. And believe me, too bad, Randy, and too bad, Louis, that you didn't make it there, because we totally pigged out on some of the best food I've ever had, and that was just right, you know, right around Christmas time. So,
were you invited, Randy? Because I wasn't. So I mean, you know, that's
yes, you were. Yes, you were. So, Randy couldn't fly in from Florida for the evening, and I've forgiven her, and Lewis had stuff that he had to do in New Mexico, so I shouldn't make them out to be bad people, okay? They're not bad people. I just like to rouse them on the radio, because I can get away with it here, and they can't fight back that easy.
Yeah, you notice I'm staying silent. I'm not fighting.
I know. So then there's drvalerie.com, and that's where, and that's drvalerie.com. And what you find over there is a paper called The Kirkgaard Method that tells you about this amazing process that I developed in the Landmark Forum back in 1984, which reminds me, we had a meeting of the Landmark Forum where we invited guests, and here's the biggie. My brother-in-law, Kurt, signed up. And I'm going to tell you, I am so excited about Kurt signing up for the forum, I can hardly see straight, because my ex-husband actually did the forum, and after I'd invited him for like 14 years. And what he said was, after he did the forum, was, I see why you wanted me to do it. Now, he's not a big talker, but we have a new vocabulary that was formed as soon as he did that, a way that we could communicate certain concepts and ideals. And Kurt's going to get the same thing, and that's thrilling, because when you have conversations that work, the whole world changes for you, and it occurs as miraculous. You will have experiences in which it's miraculous. So check out Landmark Education because I totally get behind this. I also, my friend Bev Peterson, besides doing alkaline restructured water, Brooke Peterson is doing these pain dots. And she sent me an email saying they really, really, really work, Val. And you know what? If Brooke has anything to do with it, they do really, really, really work. So check her out for the pain dots and also for the restructured water. And you want to say, why restructured water? One of the things that Kangen water machines do is they actually reduce the size of the water molecule by 50%. And when they do that, it's actually easier for the body to absorb. So give Brooke a call at 561-628-1845. That's 561-628-1845. And tell her you heard about her on Waking Up in America. So, Lewis, I'm sure you've got something just fascinating going on for us today. So what's up, Doc? Oh, wasn't it? That was cute.
It is cute. Well, a couple things, just as an aside, and that is that you were talking about peacock being royal, and I thought of another royal bird thing, and that was Prince Charles had a statement about the climate, the global warming skeptics, and he had a term for them, and that's the Headless Chicken Brigade. So put that out there.
Go, Prince Charles.
I hope that was interesting. That was
the Headless Chicken Brigade. I love it.
Last week, yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about a recent this new finding that there may be a new way to create stem cells. Another fairly recent finding supports the notion about a disease process that I think is one of the more feared ones, and it's multiple sclerosis. So, you know, that's a problem that affects the central nervous system and can be relapsing, and there are a lot of different manifestations, virtually anything that you can think of that can go wrong with your nervous system, whether it's coordination, speech, cognition, all of those things, you know, can be affected, and they can be affected gradually, intermittently, severely, or mildly. And so far, there hasn't been a definitive identification of the cause. But there are a number of reasons to wonder if, in fact, it's environmental or if it's due to an infectious agent, you know, a virus or a bacteria. Actually, last fall, there was a group that had been looking at this, and what they found was they were able to isolate a particular bacterium in a young woman who had acute, you know, brand new, and very, very rapidly progressive multiple sclerosis. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Through a series of investigations looking at tissue, blood, spinal fluid samples, stool samples from healthy people, and also samples from people with multiple sclerosis, it may very well be that one of the Clostridium species, Clostridium is a bacterium, one of the Clostridium species secretes a particular toxin that seems to cross the barrier that keeps nastiness out of the brain, the blood-brain barrier, and maybe the actual initial agent that gets the whole thing underway. And if that's the case, that's really very exciting because it really offers a whole new approach to how we might prevent and certainly how we might intervene for people with multiple sclerosis. That's not to say that we know that this one particular microorganism, Clostridium perfringens, is the reason for multiple sclerosis in every case, but it certainly offers hope. Clostridium perfringens is one of the Clostridium species. There are at least 100 of those, and the ones that we're most familiar with are the ones that cause some dreaded diseases, like tetanus, for example, or botulism, a really bad form of food poisoning. And Clostridium perfringens is known for causing gas.
What was it, Clostridium?
Clostridium. Clostridium perfringens.
Of course.
But anyway, the thing I wanted to say is that we, you know, right now, there's no, this is not a proven or accepted notion that, oh, absolutely, we know the mechanism or the cause of multiple sclerosis, but I think it's one of those things where we know that we have healthy forms or forms of Clostridium that are commensal, that live in our gut, that are not causing any issues, and then there is a form that releases this toxin epsilon toxin that causes problems that look like multiple sclerosis. And certainly in this instance, it appears that that may have been the factor that got the very, very rapidly acting or progressive form of multiple sclerosis going in this young lady.
Huh.
So I wanted to put a plug in for coconut oil.
Oh, I love it.
You know, because coconut oil has the medium-chain fatty acids, which are, by the way, really great for your heart and brain. They are toxic to a number of pathogenic microbes, including certain Clostridium species. And so, although to say that coconut oil is a preventative strategy or cure for multiple sclerosis and put it out there as that definitively would be wrong, but to say that coconut oil is healthy for you, and at least this initial research, you know, by extension, might suggest that this might be a good way to prevent that, as well as some other diseases. So,
you know, like radiation, it's good for that too.
Like radiation, and like a number of parasitic infestations, Alzheimer's. So, you know, a tablespoon of virgin cold-pressed coconut oil twice a day, I think, is a good recommendation.
You can get it at Trader Joe's. I just bought my bottle yesterday. I go through it all the time, and then I got further information, I think it was yesterday, actually, that it helps prevent radiation damage along with iodine and a couple of other things. So, gosh, Lewis, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Kailani fit in all of this? And also the other thing is, would it affect fibromyalgia? Because my sister-in-law has got that.
What affects fibromyalgia?
Kailani?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, yes, I mean, it should. And in fact, there are accumulating number of folks with fibromyalgia who have had a great response to Kailani. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. It could take 5-6 weeks, 2 months, especially for folks who have had fibromyalgia for many years and who have failed multiple pharmaceuticals and other approaches. But
Right. Actually
the experience is quite promising. And probably, you know, no one knows for sure what causes fibromyalgia. It may be a constellation of disorders with different causes, and there are different ideas. But certainly one thing that's been demonstrated, I think, pretty clearly is that the mitochondria, remember those little organelles, those little cells within cells that generate generate energy, basically metabolize foodstuffs and convert glucose or sugar into ATP. That's the molecule that drives every function in your body, basically. You can't live without. Those little guys are very, very subject to damage from this thing that we've talked about called oxidative stress. It's kind of like inflammation inside the cell. And there's no question that the very, very dense nutrients that are in Kailani can really potentially help alleviate that. So that's the theoretical mechanism, mitochondrial health, cellular health, because of the benefits of these phytonutrients that are in sunrise in particular, and maybe the tocotrienols in sunset. So, yes, absolutely, the response has been good, and maybe we'll hear more about that later once some of the information or data is collected, which I think someone is actually doing.
Well, this is really exciting, and I have to tell you, I've been taking Kailani since last June, and what I give credit in my life to is the landmark form in Kailani giving me the energy to do what it is that I need to do, along with the Protandin. That's my power source. You know, I do the other things to strengthen my immune system, but when it comes to my power, I've already gotten up this morning. I've already had my coconut oil. I've already had my Kailani, and I am zippy-doo-dah, and I've got quite a day going in front of me. And I didn't have the energy to live the kind of days that I wanted to live. And so Mary Louise Zeller, actually, she just had sent an email not realizing that we're on the air saying good morning and that she was getting information for us. And another email came on while we're on the show, which I want to give you a little heads up on. According to this email from TNT, if you've been considering getting Dinar or Dong, and I would recommend Dong over Dinar, and I don't want to go into all the reasons right now, it said, bank-related intel says this coming Monday for the last of the Tier 1 rates to be paid public RV on Tuesday. This is a solid source via Wells Fargo Banker. Okay, that's, now I've gotten these things before, but I was told that there had to be a total RV of all the currencies in the world before the rates would be released. And last week I got information saying that all 198 countries had completed. So they're not going to, I don't know when they're going to publish the rates, but I think it's sooner rather than later. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. And if you've been thinking about doing it, today would be the day to do it. And you can buy dong really inexpensively, and you can go to iBuyDinar.com and actually pick up some dong. I think it's like $85 or $90 a million, something like that. And I don't know what it'll come in at, you know, maybe a dollar or two per dong. But this would be the time to do it. And now, Randy Shannon, following on that with all your peacocks, what's going on in your world?
Well, you know, I've had company in town for the last week, a great friend from Las Vegas, so I've just been going like crazy. So not a ton of lost stuff. In fact, I didn't have the call this week, but we have an incredible interview coming up this week, and it's about starting small, that the federal government really doesn't have any power if we start with our local areas, like city council and county positions, et cetera, et cetera. So our law call that's coming up this week is going to be phenomenal. I hope everybody dials into it. And all they have to do is go to support at 42action.org, and they'll get our one email a week that goes out, and they'll have the information about the call. It's not going to be live. It is going to be pre-recorded early this week, and it'll play for about a week and a half. It's going to be really good stuff.
Did either of you guys listen and watch the State of the Union message from Mr. Obama?
You know, I was going to do it, and then I thought, I've got so many better things to do than to sit and listen to the liar in chief. And so,
he's elegant.
What's that?
I didn't watch it that night, and then later I thought, you know, you're a radio talk show host. You should really know what the guy is saying. So the next day I got onto the internet, and I went over to whitehouse.gov or whatever it is, and I watched it.
What'd you think?
A charismatic baloney pusher forwarder. Mm-hmm. That's in lieu of other words I could use, okay?
Yeah.
He's very charismatic. I think the thing that made me the most upset was him using this poor crippled soldier that had been on 10 missions in Afghanistan or something like that, and the guy had part of his, he'd gotten shrapnel in his brain and couldn't use his arm and stuff like that, and Obama had him sitting there, and while I'm sure that it was terrific that he honored the guy, I just felt so manipulated by the use of this poor man who couldn't use his arm properly and had badges all over and his head was a little droopy and stuff like that. And he put out good messages on a couple of people that had had their lives saved because of Obamacare and things of that nature. And I just thought, you know, he's such a good speaker. I can see how he gets to where he gets to. But I don't know if you saw the article that was written by one of the editors of Newsweek and the cover. I did forward it to you, I think, just yesterday, so you might not have had a chance to look at it yet. But, you know, check out Newsweek this week. Pick up the magazine and see what the article, I think Obama's on the cover. Very charming, and according to his intelligence, his voting record, his history and his background, not much there to go on to be a president other than the fact that the guy really has good scriptwriters and stuff. But I didn't know whether or not you'd seen it because I so got how I fell for him back in 2008. I thought he actually had some history and some education and some courage behind the language that he uses. So I don't know. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe there's some mysteriously, secretly good thing that he's doing. But
well, you know, that speech that he gave, there was many things in it that were 100% plagiarized from the speechwriter for Bush.
Really?
Yeah, he was on Fox News the next day, and I don't make a time of watching that at all. Someone sent me a copy of it, but he was on there, and he said, yeah, the speech was all so familiar because I wrote it myself for Bush.
Well, he did it. He delivered it well. Okay, the guy knows. He's very, very, very charismatic. I totally got it, and I just sat there, and I thought, dang. And when he brought out the soldier and the, all of this stuff, it was just like I started to get sick to my stomach. So, please, even though he's, oh, and then he's promised to straighten out things with by using executive orders. That's what we were looking for, wasn't it? Him making decisions about everything going on in the world. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's not a legislator. He's the executive branch. So what's he doing, you know?
Well, he's a legislator now. He's written more executive orders than the sum of all other presidents combined.
Wow.
Okay, so I don't know what we do about that.
Well, we're in trouble if it continues as a nation.
Well,
I mean, that
so
is
are you running for Florida? Are you going to run for the House of Representatives?
I did float it out there. I don't know what positions are available. I have, but I did float it with people,
yeah.
And I got a lot of positive feedback. There was some negatives because, you know, it is working for the corporation. And,
did you tell them you got
so
peacocks
happened.
Backing you?
It's funny. I just so happened to start to watch House of Cards last night, and I watched about 2.5 episodes before I just couldn't keep my eyes open. And boy, if it's anything like that, which I believe it's a lot like that, it is a dirty, dirty, dirty business.
Oh, you knew that. Come on.
I did.
It's a dirty business.
But boy, that show just shows just how awful it is. I mean, if you've never seen House of Cards, I think it's Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey, but I haven't seen it.
Robin Wright, you must watch it. I'm on third episode, and I don't want to shut it off. I'm watching it on Netflix, so I can just watch a whole series in one weekend.
Oh, good enough. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I'll give you my login. You can go watch whatever you want.
Okay, shoot it over to me, and I will.
Okay.
Cool. Then this is how friends
work. All my kids
and
all my kids' friends have it.
Oh,
so whenever it says Randy's favorites or Randy's history, they really aren't. I have not seen anything on it in probably 2 years, but I pay for it because I know my kids and their friends all have my passcode. Everybody goes and watches.
Are we suggesting illegal behavior here?
Well, anyone can watch it. I'm sure there's something to it, but, you know, I pay for it and I never use it. Never, literally never. So this is the first
okay,
thing
so I'll
watch.
Just temporarily become your twin sister, okay?
That's it. There you go.
There you go. Lewis, we're nearing the end of the program. Is there anything you would like to push in here before we hop off the air?
You know, I just want to put a plug in for that coconut oil again. I think it's an underappreciated, hugely beneficial food that it's just not part of the usual dietary recommendations because of this concept years ago that all saturated fat was bad, and it was one of those things where there was a recognition that saturated fats from animals might not be very healthy. Therefore, all saturated fats should be verboten. But the medium chain fatty acids in coconut oil are quite different. And I think everybody should go out and start looking to get the best coconut oil that they possibly can. Use it in your cooking. Use it as a spread. Just eat it straight up. Put it in your coffee or tea.
And coffee,
I put it in
tea,
pretty much
tried
everything.
That. I can't quite get into that. But along with coconut oil, I just really, 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 really want to encourage you to check out Lumosity. Because my ability to respond, to be flexible, to do all kinds of things, since I started, I think it was last May, and then I did their free trial, and then it's Lumosity, and then I didn't do anything for a while, and then finally I just went and I decided to do it. My, what they call brain profile index was at 200 and something, which is not bad for my age. I am now at over 1,055 on that, okay? 1,055, and I'm in the top 2 or 3% of my age group, and I'm even beating, like, 30 and 40-year-olds. You're listening to Waking Up in America, and we want to thank you for listening. And here, what we've got for you is a thanks to Jeff Spinard, Nathan Jed, Brad Comer, Ryan Treasure, Brandy Jackman, our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Dasha, and Ron Hayes, our wonderful research editor. And just thanks for listening. You can always write us at ballotwakingupinamerica.com and go get some coconut oil and check out Lumosity and make sure that Kayani is on your menu. Thanks for listening.
Make sure it's cold fresh.
Hear the music, feel the dance.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.